Hello and welcome to the Echo Chamber podcast. My name is Tony Groves, and this is, this is just my conversation that took place a couple of minutes ago with Ukrainian MP Lesia Vasilenko, as she was essentially trying to make sure she was getting west of Kiev as the Russian army in serious heavy military approach. Lesia had her children in the car, and she was trying to get them to a safe location. Genuinely, we had few problems with the link, so there's slight edits, but it was I think it's worth listening to, particularly listen to the appeals for a safe corridor, safe passage for children and people with disabilities and who are finding travel difficult. There's a lot more that can be done. Ireland has more of a part to play. We could certainly do stuff about how we process the shadow banking section. I know there's a piece again in the Irish Times today referring to it, but it's gone on for far too long now, and we have to seriously ask our government what the hell is going on here. The concern really and truly is that city by city they are going to leave carnage and desolation. The reason I'm a bit tongue-tied is because I'm actually a bit worried. Just as we went off air, Lesia's someone else was in the background, and it just the fear of the whole situation at the moment is palpable. Please do raise your voices. Do let our government know. Do protest with your pockets as well. These are the ways to do these things, and also let's. I'll stop rabbiting on. This is my conversation with Lesia. And look, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you all as and when I get the opportunity. I'm delighted to be joined on the line now by Ukrainian opposition MP Lesia Vasilenko. Lesia, things look very grim. How are you, first of all, and what is your view on the current situation as it is evolving, deteriorating in front of our eyes?
Well, things do look very grim, and as we speak, we have information that we have forces launched to encircle Kiev from Belarus, from this huge column moving, which is 27 kilometers long, of Russian forces, and basically from every single side. And right now the biggest challenge for all Ukrainian MPs left here on the ground is to organize a humanitarian corridor to get the children out of Kiev and to get the children out of Kharkiv, all children that is of the city. So we launched an extra train that is going from Kiev to the west to make sure that the children get picked up. And now we're trying desperately to contact the International Committee of the Red Cross to start doing something and to start organizing those humanitarian corridors, because we fear that there's going to be just a massacre targeted at civilians the same way as it has already happened in Kharkiv and in Chernihiv.
Yeah, we've seen some incredibly grim explosions. We've seen buildings targeted. We've seen some of the escalation in this. And now, you've pointed to a large convoy of tanks that are approaching. The humanitarian community, the international community, simply has to do something in terms of a human corridor, as is referred to in these times. And have you found any? I was speaking to Maria Mezentseva, the Ukrainian government MP, and she said we're basically trying to feed people and evacuate them at the moment. It's very, very dark when you know this is the situation whereby children are still there. Do you mind if I ask you, your own children, are they out of the city or are they still in the area?
As we speak, I'm actually taking them out. I am a bit more fortunate than everyone else because when we spoke before, I told you that I was staying just outside the city. Mm-hmm. And that is basically the only reason why I am able today to put them in the car and drive them west. Because the other problem is that all the exits and entrances to Kiev, to the capital, they are more or less blocked.
I know people have pointed to the fact that the EU sanctions and that the these things that have been done have been unprecedented. But as this seems to have just said that Vladimir Putin now just wants to act more quickly and actually do things that we didn't imagine he would do. And what we're facing here is really, really dark. It looks like one of the finest cities in Europe could be destroyed here, Lesia. And I know that, and that's without the loss of life we're facing here. What more can the international community do? Like, I mean, they're talking about kicking Russia off the Security Council now. There's all sorts of things that we were told couldn't happen that are, and I know your president Zelensky apparently has signed a form formally requesting EU membership. I think I've lost Lesia.
No, you've got me. I'm on the run off and on a lot of the time.
What more can the international community do at this stage, Lesia, this seems to be that this war is going to start really escalating in the next 8 hours.
Right now, it's essential that all of the international community steps up and comes into Ukraine, provides us with a no-fly zone, a blue sky initiative. Essentially, we want American and British and Portuguese and whatever else into our skies, helping us to hold them up against Russian missiles and whatever other weapons they are going to be using against us. And what we want is also people here on the ground countering Russian aggression, because the way it is looking, that it's going to escalate to the level where they just want to eradicate everything that is in the country, in the territory of Ukraine, everything and everyone. It's actually differentiation between
Lesia, the other thing that people are worried about now is access to food and water. Is these concerns as well? I know there's talk of the it being provided, but like I've heard reports of Russian soldiers breaking into apartment blocks to take food as well. So it seems that it's definitely hunger is also an issue in the cities.
So what is that we will run out of food and water if Kyiv gets encircled. So what we are about to see, and the world is about to see, is actually a humanitarian disaster. Humanitarian disaster. I think that no country in Europe who believes in human rights should just be standing by and watching this happen.
Just one important point, and I know we spoke about this off air. I'm speaking in Dublin. Some more has to be done in Dublin too. I mean, it's only a few months ago that a Russian bank was able to raise funds using the bonds through Dublin. You know, we talk about the SWIFT system, but we have huge connections to the shadow bank section as well here. And our government needs to do more there to actually be brave and stand up and say, you know, some sort of sanction, some sort of action on these funds, because they are essentially still the money that won't fall into the categories that is caught by the SWIFT banking sanctions that can be taken place. So, I mean, there more can be done, and more can be done within Ireland as well if our government was to actually act faster.
I think that all governments right now need to think about what else they can do, and not just governments, also private companies. Private companies don't need extra laws or sanctioned policies. They can adopt their own. Like Visa and MasterCard, they can stop all transactions that are coming from Russia, for example. Amazon already stopped providing a platform for goods and also for all purchases made from Russia. So companies as well as governments can take examples from the more robust sanctions against Russia already.
Mm.
Now, I understand completely well that the likelihood of having a no-fly zone or having, I don't know, Irish or British troops here on the ground at the moment looks very unlikely. But there is a lot more that you can do and that you can reposition your government to do. But really, at the end of the day, it looks like there is going to be NATO involvement in the war in Ukraine, as well as involvement of all other countries. Because the way that it looks is that the number of casualties, both civilian and military, is just going to continue to grow. It's just a matter of time. And I think that it's also a little unfair that the world is sort of just standing by, introducing sanctions, but essentially just watching this battle between David and Goliath and putting bets as to who's going to win. I think it's more effective if involvement is right here, right now, when the casualties toll is still in the thousands, rather than wait until it raises up to the millions.
That's a very scary thought, Lesia. Look, I won't delay you. We'll put an appeal out. We will put an appeal out across the airwaves and try and push this. I appreciate you taking the time. Please stay safe. Please mind your family. Do the best you can. Please stay in touch, and we will continue to raise this issue. Folks, you've heard it that there. There is more we can call on our own politicians, our own leaders, and our own and the businesses as well. A very good point around the private industries and the steps that they can take now. That's before we even go down the road of the but and most importantly, something has to be done to make sure that the evacuation is done in a safe manner and that people, children are kept safe. I mean, we could talk about children and people with disabilities as well. Like there's a lot of people who have difficulties being moved. We've seen some horrendous scenes where children in neonatal units being moved to underground sections. That all has to be dealt with properly. So please raise your voices and get involved. Let's see. Thanks for talking to you, and we will be back in touch very soon.
Thank you. Bye.
We'll leave it there for now, folks, but I am hoping to be joined by Ukrainian government MP Maria Mezentseva later. She's currently working on the evacuation and food distribution. And she, speaking to her on and off earlier today, she just said everybody's exhausted and already feeling like robots was the phrase she used. Thanks for listening. Please do help us keep this project going. Obviously, it would be great if you could support to this independent podcast. And also, we have a link there for the International Red Cross for Ukraine. So if you click that in the bio and you want to throw a few quid or whatever support you can, please do. Back as soon as we get Maria on the line.
Tony and Martin, Martin and Tony, speaking to interesting people only. It's the Echo Chamber podcast. Subscribe now on Patreon.